Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Grace and peace, Brother Rob, whenever you're ready to start.
Grace and peace, Sister Rhea. I'm all set. A beautiful day. However, it's been marred by paint in the skies. I see trails, jet trails, aerosol trails all over the skies today. And there still is sun. It's all spread out and it's becoming a featureless sky where it's kind of a bright, light color gray. So,
right.
What's new? But the good thing about it is I had an opportunity seeing this just to give out a few informational web cards, the website card I've been talking about, to a couple of people. In fact, when I came back by the office, this one man was already talking about, you know, the aerosol or the weather climate engineering. So yeah, it's just a good feeling that when the opportunity is there, you do something about it. But at the same time, you don't just stop and pat yourself on the back and be content with it. So anyways, well, just a reminder, week's show as to, I shouldn't say last week, it's been a while, so I'll make this show a good one. In the last radio blog, my theme was from the 12th saying of the Gnostic Gospel of Thomas. This is something that's not in the New Testament, but there is definitely some overlap. In fact, today's reading from the Gospel of Thomas is also in Matthew. But I'll get to that later. And the truth will come back to burn us or you. You know, that was a basic message of that saying. And I'm sure we can all think of when we thought we were right, but we're wrong instead. And I provided an example in the last blog, but I'll give another one. And again, it relates to my job experience. As I drive and I supervise, I drive a big truck with a trailer. Well, one time it was dark, and I'm pulling away from the trailer with my tractor, and all of a sudden somebody shouts at me. I was looking behind as I pulled out because I'm connected with these airlines, and I want to make sure they're disconnected because sometimes, you know, we all get distracted, and if they're connected, you'll bust them, and then you won't be able to function on your job. Well, anyways, all of a sudden, somebody just shouted at me, and of course, I wasn't in the greatest mood in the first place. He said, geez, you could have killed me. Well, what happened is as I was looking back and pulling out, he was walking in front of my truck. So it just hit me the wrong, rubbed me the wrong way. I thought, geez, you know, he didn't need to shout or whatever, but indeed he did. So I disputed it somewhat, but, you know, in the end, I knew in my heart that I made a really grave error, and it was hard to admit. So what do? I throw back something at him, and I said, well, I'm wearing a vest. Why aren't you wearing a vest? Well, you know, that was a mute point because I was not looking. So anyways, you know, this got on my conscience. So I come over to hitch up to another trailer, and I'm just really distracted thinking about it. So what happens is, you know, I'm so busy thinking about it, I take Dolly up and everything so the trailer's not dragging its feet, because trailers stand on landing gear, or, you know, the trailer's feet. So I dolly up, I hook up, and I hadn't properly backed in, I guess because I was distracted. So sure enough, I pulled out, and the trailer dropped. You know, I was horrified. So the lesson being, the truth comes back to burn you. It was, you know, sometimes it's just hard to face your mistakes, and I wasn't facing a mistake. It bothered my conscience. And because of that, I was distracted, and it's like the saying goes, the truth can come back to burn you. And that's what Jesus was sharing with the disciples, Peter, Thomas, and Matthew, that they were, you know, falling short of his teachings. And though Thomas had the right idea, even he was short of it, but Jesus had whispered something to Thomas, saying three words that are unknown, but what Thomas shared with Matthew and Peter was something to the effect that the truth will come back to burn you like rocks, burning rocks. You throw rocks at somebody and those rocks will come back burning. So that's that. But again, the concept of that verse was, drop the mind, it can trick you with emotions. So beyond love, there is that inner sanctum of awareness where the mind provides facts and not distortions. That within that silence of the soul, there's a radiant and peaceful sage within. So, you know, in our long, arduous journey to find these truths about ourselves, which is very difficult sometimes, we arrive at that peaceful time. And when we're at peace, we're not at war with others. So it's a very special verse, I think, that unfortunately got thrown away or hidden. I'd just like to make an announcement as I continue, but I'm excited about an event coming up in April with Extinction Rebellion. It will April 15th through April 22nd, but for sure April 15th there will be an event. I'm really excited because I do believe we're already well into extinction with all the species and web of life collapsing, where we may not notice it on a day-by-day basis, but there's a lot of facts and statistics that are scientifically verifiable that indeed the planet is heating, the insect population is collapsing. Of course, they're still around. I still see butterflies, but you know, it's hard to notice year after year how much the change is. But there's enough people out there saying, well, geez, in the last three or four decades, the changes are happening quite rapidly, and enough to where people now realize that there has to be an overriding cause, such as Extinction Rebellion, to get people to wake up to, you know, some painful reality, but, you know, some emergency measures that we have to take now, not in some incremental day-at-a-time form. So, again, I'm excited about it coming to the United States. It's already happened. It was Super Bowl weekend, January 26th, when some events went on. It's kind of a loose organization. which I think is good because it gives groups some freedom to do what they will and not be totally constrained by some large bureaucratic group with its very strict rules. As I found in Minnesota 350, as a nonprofit, they were very constrained. They could not speak about the climate engineering issue, yet the climate engineering issue is first and foremost, perhaps the most destructive of all, the climate. So how ironic it is that a group that purports to fight for, you know, to help keep the climate cool is not doing anything about its worst tool. Beyond that, I'm thinking of poems, I'm thinking of posters, and it's kind of fun to be creative, but at the same time, the foundation has to be facts. So I am copying some photos from the internet by the geoengineeringwatch.org site. Also, I looked a little bit more into the 9/11 Truth Architects and Engineers website. I've contributed some, and I should also announce that there is a lawsuit against the FBI in regard to evidence of controlled demolition of the towers, especially Building 7, which had no plane. I think that's a very exciting development because over time, if we don't deal with these issues, we never will. And we'll just go downhill so fast if we haven't already. So I think there will be some people in Congress, perhaps our local Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, I think would be real receptive to this FBI lawsuit and a few others. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. The FBI lawsuit, again, with 9/11 is that the FBI has been asked to do its job to share to Congress more details that have been requested by groups for freedom of information that have not been borne out. They have not, they've dragged their feet and have not followed through on some of the congressional inquiries that were supposed to be borne out. I'll just take a quick look. I got to wake up the computer again. I'll be right with you. The topic today I've written, the precept is, as above, so below, whether warfare mirrors our inward-outward battle. And it's an old saying from Greek mythology goes, as above, so below, as within, so without. Hermes Trismegistus, Hermes, the mythical character we know, who knows, maybe he was a real person at one time. Myths sometimes become true, and truth sometimes becomes myth. But the turmoil we see in the cobweb skies is a reflection of the turmoil of modern humans, especially those in the first world. They find themselves, the turmoil we find within ourselves. Revelations 11:18, as pointed out, by former mainstream media host Greg Hunter during his interview with climate engineer opponent and author Dane Wigington, it's that verse is appropriate to this topic, that nations were enraged in judgment to those who destroy the earth, rewards to the small and the great who fear thy name. And that was in his last radio blog. Also, Dane Wigington cited Edward Teller, a quote within the book Fixing the Sky. He said, conflict over weather control is likely the cause of the last war on Earth. Dane goes on to say how each of us must start with credible factual information of this greatest threat, thus greatest priority among many to bring it forward, and that threat is climate engineering / weather warfare. One day at a time, Dane has built an army of the aware, though he began only to hear his own voice echoing back at him. I'll go on here. I've recently discussed about the journalist and minister, Presbyterian minister, Chris Hedges. I've been able to do some research on him since my last blog, and very interesting because he's been one to go all over the world and expose some ugly truth about the empire that the United States runs. I mean, from all over the world, we have bases. So for anyone to say that we aren't an empire, it's beyond me. And taken into that context, I guess empire is a bad word. You know, Rome fell, all empires fall. But at the same time, I think it's a healthy word to, it's time to really take a look at it as something we need to admit. In the interviews I saw on the internet that Mr. Hedges conducted, he's been on various internet sites and radio programs. I think Russia Today was one of them. But he's a Christian anarchist. He voted outside the two-party system, and I think it was for a Green candidate. But he had an interview with Spencer Rapone, and a very young man who was in Afghanistan, who became a cadet at West Point later on, and continued as a resistor, trying to find out if he can help his country and be a patriot by, you know, bravely facing, if he sees tyranny, he was one to express it with his fellow fighters. And he did indeed get in trouble for it, he, like many whistleblowers do. And he was, when he graduated from West Point, he had some sign that he showed, you know, that showed on the media, a photo where he was praising Colin Kaepernick and whatever else, giving a message that was not tolerated, you know, in the graduation ceremony. But I know he did, he was given an assignment, as all these cadets were to do, on a hero, a fallen hero. And it was, they told him not to do Matt Tilson, and that's just what he did. And again, a reminder, Matt Tilson was a football player who turned down a multi-million-dollar contract to be a patriot and after 9/11 and, you know, fight in Iraq. And in a quagmire of controversy, the conclusion that I think anyone can draw is that he confronted the ugly reality of the murders that were going on, or the tyranny, and was shot in so-called friendly fire, which was actually deliberate by our own people. So that story has never died, and it's for good reasons. Also, Christian anarchist Hedges talked about Chelsea Manning, again, the man who transformed to a woman, so she's now called Chelsea Manning. She's back in prison, so Mr. Hedges talked about her in depth, that it was Julian Assange of WikiLeaks, who has, you know, been a fugitive for quite a while. The United States wants him back to put him in prison, give him due punishment or whatever. So Chelsea Manning was called to testify against Julian Assange, and she refused. And so she's back in prison. I did write a letter supporting her courage, in that she's already given all the testimony she can give. So by repeating it just to help put a fellow whistleblower in jail is not what she wants to do. For me to say Julian Assange is a hero, I don't know enough about the man, to be honest. perhaps there's a point where there's too much whistleblowing that could jeopardize, you know, the lives of American soldiers, etc. But I do admire what Chelsea Manning has done. During this topic on Chelsea, Chris Hedges showed some film that was released by Chelsea Manning, and it shows this adrenaline rush of soldiers killing innocent civilians in Afghanistan. If I'm not mistaken, that it's Afghanistan or Iraq, but regardless, very, very ugly stuff came out that needed to come out, that I admire her for bringing out, because if we don't know this ugliness, we'll never get beyond it. We'll just keep repeating it. So, also, along the lines of the military, Dean Wigington had some interesting things to say, too, about the idea that well, let me find it. Excuse me for a moment. He was saying that the counterbalancing force equals our military brothers and sisters, not used to fight for freedom and democracy, but as paid mercenaries for the power structure, completely out of control. We must evolve past this mentality. We need an army of the awakened, and it's very true. The most important people that can be reached about, you know, some of the things like climate engineering are the same people, are military brothers and sisters that, along with private companies, are spraying the sky and putting the poison in the sky. So I think it's very interesting, for example, with a candidate like Tulsi Gabbard and a former candidate for president, Howard Dean, where Howard Dean has downcast or smeared Tulsi Gabbard for, you know, she's been a soldier for so long. Howard Dean was never in the military, as far as I know. And he was smearing Tulsi for bringing out some truths about Syria, for visiting President Assad, for example, and going and exploring the country that we're tearing down, you know, in her military presence. And, you know, some of Tulsi's conclusions are very unpleasant to the establishment, whereas the establishment is all behind the overthrow and regime change. Tulsi Gabbard has made the central role of the presidency to say enough of the regime change. He's spoken out against the effort and propaganda, so to speak, against Venezuela, that those people have a right to determine their own destiny, and whether we like it or not, it's better to have dialogue with these people and economic relations and so forth. So I thought that's pretty interesting. So going along here, I should stop a moment as I'm. If there's any questions out there, please don't hesitate. I would welcome, you know, a couple questions as I go. Glad to be interrupted. But getting back to Chris Hedges, it's interesting where he's talked about multiculturalism and ID politics as the ethical imperative and ignores the primacy of economic and social justice. And a good example is right here in Minnesota, where this battle, this political battle took place. The Wellstone Foundation, Paul Wellstone, of course, is a well-known senator in Minnesota, very famous and very outspoken, and a lot of people have liked Paul. Well, the Wellstone Foundation that his sons took over, there was a big stew about multiculturalism. They wanted to change the mission and put the phrase about women's rights and other, you know, various identity politic topics. Fundamental was economic and social justice. The Wellstones wanted to leave the mission as that because the rest is implied. So Mr. Hedges went on to say that, you know, the corporate elite system that we have and politics is subject to, the idea that, for example, a woman president is somehow beneficial to an empire run amok is an absurdity. It redefines what feminism should be, which is about the empowerment of oppressed women. Elites diversify as a cover to maintain a system of institutional and corporate exploitation. So that's going to hit a lot of people hard. Half the country, you know, voted for Hillary and the other half for Trump. Dichotomous, lesser evil kind of politics has, you know, been tearing us apart. But I think that's a very interesting observation. It does catch very much, you know, the contradictions we face. And a little bit more about this Presbyterian minister. He talks about resistance as his philosophy and the joy of, you know, catching the crime people in the act. He says resistance until suffering requires self-sacrifice and accepts that we may be destroyed. It is not rational. It is not about the pursuit of happiness. It is about the pursuit of freedom. Resistance accepts that even if we fail, there is an inner freedom that comes with defiance. And perhaps this is the only true happiness and freedom that we'll ever know. To resist evil is the highest achievement of human life. It is the supreme act of love. It is to carry the cross, as the theologian James Cohen reminds us, and to be acutely aware that we are carrying, that what we are carrying is what we will die upon. Resistance is an act of faith. It is the belief that the good draws the good. The Buddhists call this karma. But Vaclav Havel, only sustainable by faith, he calls it sublime madness. So it's a pretty well thought out word that over a lifetime somebody like Chris Hedges has taken to be, you know, a foundation for his thinking. And so I'll get beyond Chris Hedges here, and I'll get to our reading. The reading, which is the second reading of the Gospel of Thomas. It says, Jesus is very paradoxical. The second saying, Jesus said, men possibly think that I have come to throw peace upon the world, and they do not know that come to throw divisions upon the earth, fire, sword, war. For there shall be live in a house, three shall be against two, or three shall be against two, and two against three, the father against the son, and the son against the father. And they will stand as solitaries. Jesus said, I will give you what the eye has not seen, and what the ear has not heard, and what the hand has not touched, and what has not arisen in the heart of man. So it's a very powerful statement where he's kind of, one way I saw it put was, you know, cleaving us, that leaving the earthly wants behind and the heaven that's within us, finding our way to that inner peace, that silence. So once again, just pause with me a moment. Any questions, think of them now, and I'll be glad to take any. I've just got to wake up the computer again. Hold on. So the second saying of the Gnostic Gospel of Thomas, that Jesus has not come to throw peace, but throw division. Again, it separates the earthly from the heavenly. It's better to have war than the life of silence of the graveyard. The heart is battleless from within. It's long and arduous. To throw anger out is a relief, but does not solve the battle within. It comes back to the silence of the graveyard. The heart is, and it comes back to be reenacted. So Osho, the interpreter of this Gnostic gospel, again, Osho was a man from India and came to the United States many years ago, in the 60s, I believe it was, and had quite a following. But Osho said, we live by illusions that we are good. Deep down, we deny our shortcomings, our true identity. And this is definitely a means to survival. I mean, we have to think we're good, but it's very hard to uncover some of the lie to that. So an example of a response to climate engineering by the Sierra Club, I think, illustrates this kind of denial. They reasoned that if the government says climate engineering is not recognized by the government, then we won't recognize it. However, as Dane Wigginson says, why would the criminal ever admit to his crimes? So here's the Sierra Club that does good things, but when it comes to a big issue like taking on a crime of the government, it won't question it. It's an authority that you don't deal with, whether they're bad or good. It's just like, we'll go on doing our tidbit here and there, and just, you know, the ugly news that our government is the biggest polluter, the biggest destroyer, goes unnoticed. So I think that kind of illustrates this gospel. So the U.S. public knows that cloud seeding, you know, from a local perspective, they know about it. Most people will say, yeah, there's, you know, we can control the weather and do some local things with it, like crop dusting or maybe creating rain in a dry area. But they won't admit or don't want to investigate the fact that governments around the world do this on a massive scale. So to be fully aware of ourselves, the fire from within, we have silence. But we're alive, awake, centered, and enlightened. This is a different kind of silence, it's the one Osho says that we need to strive for in that long, arduous journey. So to be fully aware of ourselves, and then in contrast, you know, the ego creates the lies, like when a billionaire drives a cheap car, it's only a facade. So why be that way? There's a quote by Carl Sagan on the dangers of who is in charge of science and technology, especially when the people don't know about it. 5G, I've discussed this very often. This new level of intensity of high-frequency wave technology, as this comes about, it literally incinerates insects, for example, and yet it's not questioned. It's $1 billion forward. It's a bunch of jobs. Let's go for it, build. And in the meantime, the web of life gets destroyed. And how in the heck can we stop this? It makes a person wonder sometimes, because the towers we use for our cell phones, there's 10 times the power that's needed within those towers, the capability of launching waves with much more power than needed for a cell phone communication. So why do we ever go beyond that? You know, we're way, way in excess with a technosphere. And that's something, again, with the climate rebellion, the extinction rebellion, I think it's very exciting that a wave of awareness, the spot fire's awareness, it has a better opportunity to spread if we have an all-encompassing cause that is shared globally, that spreads globally. And goodness, there ain't much time left to spread it, in my opinion. So, well, that's that. And again, a little further discussion. A war is better than peace of everyone. Almost, you know, with everyone almost dead or a silence of the graveyard, leave the dead to bury the dead, Jesus once said. It's that mystical language that Jesus has that is very interesting, and that's a very strong clue that he was out east, because in the language of the East, there is more of a mystical sense about it. It's a more ancient religion, and, you know, dead and alive are spoken together as if, you know, we can be walking dead while we're alive. And the paradox is war is bad, disease is bad, and, you know, I'm quoting Osho here, but to think if war stops, everything will be okay, war is not the problem. It is man. If you win the war within, the war without will cease. And that ties into, you know, my topic for today, the precept. As above, so below. Whether warfare mirrors our inward and outward battle. So it's so easy to just not look up at the sky and never question it, as most of us haven't, and I understand that. But the quicker we can spread the news of what's actually going on up there, the better off we'll be. So I'll get to that. Carl Sagan was quite the scientist, and I wanted to go into him a little bit too, because I remember clearly during the Reagan administration, he denounced the Star Wars technology. He thought it was absolute insanity that we throw a bunch of satellites in the sky that can defend us from other weapons, and the multi-millions of dollars, the raping of resources that we'd have to use to do it when, you know, people in this country are, you know, starving or, you know, under impoverished conditions. Why would we be doing this? So he said, we've arranged a society based on science and technology, and this combustible mixture of ignorance and power, sooner or later, is going to blow up in our faces. Who is running the science and technology in a democracy if the people don't know anything about it? Well, he couldn't have said it better, because, you know, like the two people I talked to today, of course, they don't know much about it. Doesn't mean they're bad or good. It just means that so cleverly people in the power structure have been able to play secret games on us to our downfall. How would we know that those lines in the sky are poison? We're not up there. It's just, they're called condensation trails. How clever to do that. Yeah, that seems like that's what it must be, a bunch of water up there. No, it's chemicals. It's nanoparticles of aluminum, barium. It's polymers. It's, you know, the components. I'm trying to remember, polymers, metallic nanoparticles, ash. There's a whole concoction. But regardless, they're poisonous in the end. And it doesn't hurt us in a day, unless you're up there flying a plane and you're breathing it in. Some passengers have become sick, very sick, from planes, commercial planes flying through these chemtrails. And again, it's not commercial planes. It's military tankers, and it's private contractors that have retrofitted commercial planes. So that's another part of the secret, where they can retrofit a plane and put nozzles and tanks in it of all these patented materials and apply them by spraying, you know, by jet spraying these aerosols. Jet spray aerosol, this BioMine, has Brother Job said to me last week, he said, today, Rob, they're all over the sky. They're all over the sky. Same thing for me here in St. Paul, Minnesota today. Had I seen it yesterday or the day before? No, it's been a while. Do they do it at night? Of course they do, when we don't see it. So it's a tricky deal all the way around. And I do remember, too, you know, as Earth Day is coming up, a couple of years ago when I discovered climate engineering, it was a clever phrase, and that's why I'm excited by Extinction Rebellion, because there's a lot of emotion in here that people need to get out and express. That can be very healthy. And one of the signs I saw in Earth Day was protons, neutrons, electrons, and morons. So this science march of Earth Day a couple years ago, that was an expression of anger that, you know, we've got this planet that's in trouble. We know about things. We know about the smallest things and the largest things. But when it comes to our ability to keep peace in a sustainable environment, we're morons. And that doesn't do much good, but it does vent out some of the frustration I think most of us are feeling, and that has come to fore in Britain and will come to fore here. And the predictions, again, are such that it won't be long when, you know, things will be so bad, when people are going to wake up and really be angry and at the same time do something about this problem we've been putting on the shelf for decades. So, and I also had some of my poem. I got home a little late, so I'm not as organized as I'd like to be, but that's no excuse. It's spring, and there's just a lot to do. But I write from a personal level that done a poem, and I've referenced it with scientific backup. The global warming from the land of lakes and loons, I'm anguished by the global ruins. Spending time making rhymes, my soul does roam to make a poem. It is my only way to cope, to dwell upon the Hopi's hope. Please make no mistake of actions that I'll take. So I reference that poem by simply saying, yes, Minnesota is the land of lakes and loons. What's an example of global ruins? A ruin is the dying oceans, record temperatures globally, more forest fires, exponential, vanishing wildlife populations within decades, almost two-thirds gone. So there's a lot about it. But on the individual level, later on in the poem, toward the end, I have another title. It's called Homer Un, Treasure Hunt for Truth. And, of course, Homer Un is a wordplay on home run. In other words, everybody's got to step up to the plate and swing away. We're in an emergency, and just like in the World Series or whatever, players have to be bold and step up to the plate. And, you know, like when the Mets won the World Series, it took over 100 years, I believe. But, we can win. That's my point, that as disgusting as the news is, the news we need to know but don't want to know, there is a way, there is a solution, there is a way to be brave, and it's a liberating experience. So why not go with that? And don't hide in our shells. Don't hide in the mustard seed. Homer Un, Treasure Hunt for Truth. I'm just a common rube from a place called Loserville, which is radio broadcasters referred to as Minnesota. Whether on the screen or tube, I've wasted time against my will. Addictions are afflictions. Rise above them with convictions. My alias, Homer Un, is really quite homespun. Homer Un as in undo what others have been doing. And I should include myself in others have been doing. So I reference that by simply writing about, you know, the crisis of overproduction. Endless growth economic policies are unsustainable. What more obvious way to support reducing, not producing, the pressure on this planet than exposing the wasteful and destructive impact of the lies in the skies? How many millions of gallons of fuel? How many tons of chemicals? And by the way, the aluminum industry right now is thriving. And as Dane Wigginton says, I wonder why. Aluminum is the element in climate engineering. And boy, it is a thriving mineral company, the companies involved in the excavation, whereas other minerals are not doing so well. So surely these activities bring cash to the gods of money, not to mention the dangers of 5G wave technology. What impact do these activities have on our health and the web of life? And again, it's a reminder how over time the poisoning of the skies, it gets to the root systems, it gets to our bloodstreams. We have more and more Alzheimer's, more and more autism. We have the industrial pharmaceutical complex where we have vaccinations. And I've discussed this before. The adjuvants within those vaccinations have things like aluminum and mercury. These are toxins to our system. And it's been proven with peer-reviewed studies that some very bad outcomes happen, and these tend to get thrown out for the sake of a pharmaceutical industry that wants to make money. I heard the other day even an admission from the person that invented the polio vaccine. It must be very old. But that the polio vaccine overall actually contributed to more polio than it stopped. I thought that kind of blew me away. A lot of the polio was simply the conditions, you know, the sanitary conditions that caused it to spread, that it would not have spread under the right, you know, under more sanitary conditions. And I have to look more into that, but that's, you know, just a sad situation that toxins are so accepted that we're mandated to, instead of giving 5 shots, now it's more like 20 shots to our children. And in the process, it seems like our immune systems have no challenge. I can see why people think they're good, but it really does raise a question where people who have not had vaccinations, maybe they'll have the measles, maybe they'll have the mumps. Are they going to kill us? No. If anything, by having those diseases in childhood and having, you know, a safe hospital or whatever to deal with it if the disease gets over, you know, out of control, the children will survive and their immune systems will be much stronger as a result. And again, with the vaccinations that were done in Africa, that were South Africa, I believe they did a study. It's like 500,000 children that were given the vaccinations. Their mortality rate was 5 times those who were not given vaccinations. So again, it raises the question, how can people that make so much money and have such high powers with these technologies, as Carl Sagan says, how can they do what they're doing? Why do we allow them to do what they're doing? And how can we learn to undo what they're doing? So, you know, that's where my Homer Un poem comes in. So I'll just pause here briefly, and is there any feedback? Sister Rhea, Ernest, Brother Job, are you able to follow?
Okay, I'll do this one. Okay, there we go. First, I want to say, we are not looking at the situation as serious as we are to. In fact, I think it's more or less like we all like ostriches in with our heads stuck in dirt, hoping the situation will change, go away. We'll start all over again.
Yes. Yes. Somehow we got to lay low. That's what my son Gabriel said, that there's so much technology. It's the speed of technology is frightening. It's like we, you know, were we made to program the earth from the smallest nanoparticles, biggest sky? And yet, as we do it, you know, we're in trouble. So, with a little time left, if gotta check the time here, I can go over a little bit about this trap, Brother Joel, that talked about how we, you know, need to step back.
Sure.
So, you know.
You can.
Yes.
That would be good if you could cover some of that. A lot of us are not aware of those things. We need to be aware of them so we can start looking into them.
Yeah. It's, again, cultural means are so powerful. If anything, it's not so much our tools and science. It's the stories that we enact. As I've said when I started this whole radio blog, you know, climate shift in the Bible, so powerful is, I was awoken to what Daniel Quinn wrote in his book, Ishmael. And I can review that a little bit just in closing. The meaning of the world is that the earth is the birthplace and home of man. It says if the universe was created just for us, and that our home is a machine, a support system, our life support system for us, and that, you know, we are the central event of the universe. So, you know, the earth was made for us. We can do with it what we please. That's kind of the implication. The divine intention? Well, the world was made for man, and the premise of our cultural story is that it belongs to us. The destiny of man is to achieve and accomplish things. Man was made to rule the world, to bring order to the anarchy of nature. And this is part of how things came to be this way. Agriculture enabled man to take possession of earth, to settle in one place. And then you have the division of labor, and it gives rise to technology. And the Fertile Crescent, the birthplace of Western civilization, and again, it's Western civilization that is the chief culprit, in, you know, in my opinion, that is putting us toward extinction. And all power structures, whether they're in China, Russia, you know, the larger they are, the more dangerous. It's just a human nature, pretty much, that for some reason, those who crawl and make it to the top, they take poison pills on the way. They delude themselves into the psychopathic idea that they are God, and they're on an equal footing. So it's, again, a statement like former President Johnson, he who controls the weather controls the world. It's that addiction of power and control that I think it's healthy that now the internet media, since we're not wired to this emergency, it's not a collapse of a bridge and the, you know, cars running off the bridge, no. But it's the internet media that can wire us into this emergency. And that's where I think, as I discussed a little bit about the politics, even though politics is kind of the root of all evil in some ways, along with money, the alternative media is really pointing out some of the weakness of mainstream media. And there's a real strong movement, I think, of people on the internet finding these other sources. And yes, there's much in the treasure hunt for truth. If, you know, even in alternative media, there, it's hard to find the truth. But the journey toward reality is happening. And, you know, the awakening process, I think, is real healthy. So, again, we, you know, if the anarchy of nature, that is a myth. Mother culture from this fertile crescent or whatever, that cultural story that we enact, we try to fulfill, puts us as an enemy with nature. And if you look at it, the anarchy of nature is not true at all. Nature has its nomenclature. In other words, it's vast. It's so far vast beyond our comprehension in some ways, even though a biologist will study it and a geologist will study this myth that it's an anarchy, that nature is slime, it's, you know, wolf eat dog, you know, animals eating each other, raw, bloody, and that we have to step above this slime. That is so misleading, in that if people lived for millions of years before the onset of, intensified agriculture, where we keep pushing and pushing and like riding a bicycle faster and faster to make more food and more food so that, you know, nobody dies, and whereas the web of life collapses, our population keeps increasing. So, again, that was quite a book, but the message of the book, and I'll wrap it up here, is that we are inventive, we are resilient. Maybe it'll be some kind of anarchy to break down the system, so to become more localized, to have more of a random representation of people, that you don't have to be an academic scholar or war hero, that, again, we can break down into small units of local resilience, and among all these models, there's more creativity, and there's more accountability. It's in the process, I think, Extinction Rebellion wants to have these randomized citizen groups where they're randomly picked, and they oversee their government. You know, they're on a committee to hold governments accountable. So that's the step to take towards bringing the biosphere into the picture, away from the technosphere and its 5G and climate engineering and so forth. So with that, I better close. And again, it's been a while, so my apologies for occasional pauses. I got here kind of in spring has sprung, so I'm happy, but sometimes there's too many things to do. So with that, I guess I'll bring this to a close. Any more comments?
Amen.
Yeah. One more comment, if you don't mind. I didn't quite finish that with the Daniel Kim book. The perception that we're fought in because of our history of crime, addiction, and war. Again, if you look back on that, that was only for the years that intensified technology. Before that, the so-called tribal communities, not the hierarchical communities, they were just people too, and they had their wars, no doubt. But there was a rule of life instead of a rule of things. You know, we focus on things. They knew how to live based on their environment and its challenges, and they left alone resources that needed to be there for the rest of the community of life. This hyper predatory thing where we have to have farm fields, we have to take over land, we have to, you know, we lose our diversity in the process, and we all become it's becoming like there's humans, there's farmed fish, there's farmed corn full of aluminum in it. I guess you get the message. So we're not flawed, but if we believe we're flawed, again, it's the battle within. We can do it. So thanks again.
Amen. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
When did you say that the convention was April the 15th? Is that here in Minnesota?
Yeah. I'm going to go to a meeting this Saturday, so I'll keep you posted.
Can you please email us that?
Oh, I sure will. I'll do that right after. Okay. Yeah, Sister Raya, thanks for asking that.
Farmers are not going to be able to farm anymore, that they're going to have to sell their land to, he used AG, whatever that stands for, AG. He said that the media is lying. They're not showing you the real devastation of what's been going on. And that we need to learn how to start growing our own crops, our own food. And 2 weeks ago, I got an email from one of my friends about the flood that was going to happen. They predicted that that was going to happen.
Oh.
And, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say that. So please keep me updated with that because I really would like to attend.
Yeah, you know, with climate engineering, they knew about Hurricane Harvey 60 days before it happened, before it hit the coast.
Exactly.
You know, they can manipulate moisture. They've been doing it for 60 years or more. I'll keep you posted.
Hey, Rob,
I appreciate
I want to touch back on a aerosol trail that I was talking to you about. That was not just in Minnesota, but that was in Iowa, Wisconsin. And I'm talking about you see more, like anywhere from 5 to 6 planes in the sky at one time. All of them are spraying.
Right.
At one time. And they all go in different directions at one time. Now, once they pass, then here come another group of planes. Well, the temperature was rising at that time. And when they got done, well, of course, the temperature dropped. And we went into this cloud cover. And if you look at the sky, it's not clouds. It's trails.
Solar radiation management. That is the scientific term. Again, chemtrails will mislead people. The more we can use credible facts and terminology, the quicker we spread the spot fires. Have awareness.
Thank you. You know, when we were kids, we seen clouds, we seen shapes of different things inside of it that you thought you saw. Not with this.
Yeah.
Not with this. This is not the same thing.
Yeah.
And what should be a clear day is now turning into an aerosol day.
Correct.
This is not cloud cover.
And you know,
so people looking
I can't wait to at this meeting. I'm going to share photos. You know, there's satellite and photo. And one of the most striking photos to us people in the cold north is of engineered winter. We would not be having near those temperatures at all if they didn't mess with the skies. So there's pictures of Lake Michigan, the Baltics, Columbia in South America, of these ice balls and massive ice storms. And they're like anywhere from 40 to 80 pounds covering the whole shore. And if you call that natural, I will eat my hat. It's urea, ammonium hydroxide sprayed in the sky, mixing with water, And as shown in any lab, you can make instant ice out of water with these chemicals. And when it's happened in oceans where they say turtles are frozen, yet the ocean water is over 40 degrees. So scientists scratch their heads, academia, and they say, oh, we don't know what's going on. It boggles the mind. You know, where's the courage? And that's the frustration, that academia, the religious sector, all sectors of life, all, you know, there's a certain amount of denial. But again, people are catching on. And you know, we'll confront when the time comes. So anyways, I've got a lot of photos to show at this meeting. That, you know, from satellites up to oceans below.
Amen. Well, hey, bro, another great episode, man, of Visible Power DVD. But secrets are people. If you understand prophecy, then you have to understand what is taking place in the world. Everything is in its season. Please pay attention to your surrounding. A lot of this stuff that we're hearing isn't just conspiracy theory or just media charge. It is real
or, Brother
information.
Joe, if I can, or it's not just nature doing its thing. You know, we point the finger at nature. It's nature doing this. It's cycles. No, it's humanity. It's
right.
It's human.
Exactly. So please keep your eyes open. Keep your books open. Listen out for those conversations that they try to act like it's not a fire, but yet everything around you is smoking. So please, people, pay attention to your surroundings and pay attention to your leaders. Pay attention to your politicians. Look who got the power. Look who's playing with the money. And look what they're doing with it. That's a real conversation too. So, any closing comments, Rob, or is that a wrap?
We'll give it a rest for now. I thank you for the opportunity. Bless you both and all the rest of the community of our blog, and spread the word, spread the spot fire.
There we go. All right.
Oh,
people.
And I want to say, too, I get so involved in this issue. I'm glad to say that I don't read the Bible enough, but by reading the Bible, I did discover that this topic for the day, the second reading, is also in Matthew. That really caught me as I started reading. So it's reinforced.
Okay.
The prophets reinforce it.
Praise God. With all that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time, and we hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bible. Amen.
Read your Bibles, people. Time appointed. Shalom.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
The Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yahweh. really breathtaking. Honor his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of a living water, sounds of a living water, sounds of a living water, radio show. Sounds of a living water, sounds of a living water, sounds of a living water, radio show. Sounds of a living water, sounds of a living water, sounds of a living water, radio show. Sounds of a living water, sounds of a living water, sounds of a living water, radio show.